All right, here we are at the top of the hour. Stephanie, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I thought we could take maybe 10 minutes with Jennifer and answer some of the questions that have been accumulating over the last couple of days that we haven't been able to get to so far. And then after about 10 minutes, I'd like to switch because I'm going to do a talk on trauma and the nervous system and the neuroscience. Yeah. But maybe we could just take like 10 minutes. Great. I'm not sure if you were going to read those questions for us, Denny Shea, or
I am.
Jennifer, you're going to read them. Okay, super.
Yeah. And the first thing that I wanted to do was call out this checklist that I mentioned in the last talk that was in chapter 12, page 71. It's a group IRS checklist. It's a way you can not debrief your students, but debrief yourself and sort of check in to see if you've done some of these things. And it's also a great learning tool for when you're slowly becoming script independent, and it kind of gives you a checklist to go by. So that's one
And
thing I
that's in the
wanted to
reference
say.
guide too, Jennifer.
Is it?
That's, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. What page is it on, Janice? It's the full checklist. Oh, never mind. I'll find it later and let you
Okay.
know.
Okay.
Page 9 on the check in the reference guide. Yeah.
Great. Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, so one of the questions left from earlier today is, when you're beginning the class, what is a good way to orient them to the practice, like the elevator speech?
Well, oh, do you want to take that first, Jennifer? Or would you like me to speak to that?
I'm a little I'm like, is it are we explaining what iREST is, or are we orienting to the class itself? So I'm not that clear.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
it's a great distinction because the elevator pitches, I was going to share some of those on your learning resource. And that's really more when we're like meeting someone on an airplane or talking to our friends at a party or, engaging with somebody that's interested in yoga nidra. And they're like, well, what's iREST? I don't know what that is. And so the elevator pitches are short, pithy ways that we can talk to people to just share a little bit about iREST and different angles depending on who we're talking to. And then if the question is more about how do we orient our students during a class when we're teaching an iREST class, that's a whole nother discussion. And that's where I would say, and Jennifer, feel free to chime in, but we can bring in, that's where we reference the manual. Think about what we talked about. Look at your notes when we talked about important things to consider about Anamaya Kosha and body sensing. So that when you're orienting your students to why we're doing body sensing, you could pull out some key themes about why it's important, how doing so disrupts our habitual way of thinking. So we're going out of our reactive mode and coming into more of a full body, full reaction that can give us more information, more insight, and may give us new information, right, about whatever it is we're meeting in meditation. Body sensing, we might also talk about how it brings on a relaxation response. So we're deeply kinesthetically relaxed. So I would encourage you to pull some themes from your notes that we've talked about here, pull some things from the full chapters in your manual. Think about the guiding principles, how you might want to talk about everything's a messenger, or how we're the concept of welcoming. I always talk about that in my first class of a series. Non-judgmental practice, presence, non-analyzing. So we're orienting them to some of the spirit behind iREST that's going to help them to understand how to meditate. And then as we highlight specific koshas, then later on when you're talking about emotions, you're orienting them to how to feel emotions in the body as sensation. Why, what are the benefits of opposites? What we're doing with opposites, how we're not trying to get them to think about opposites, but to feel them. So I'm just going over a few highlights. And Jennifer, feel free to share more. Although I don't see Jennifer right now. There she is.
Yeah, I just stopped my video since your audio was coming in
Oh.
pretty scratchy. Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah,
sorry about that. Thank
I don't have
you.
anything else to add.
Yeah, these are just some examples just to get you thinking about it. And, you know, and then you could think about that for each kosha, but don't, but do, you know, draw from your manual. It's there to support you with your teaching, and it's a manual for life. So, yeah.
Great. The next question is wondering if there's going to be some mention about polyvagal theory.
Well, I can do that. I could do it now, or I could do it in the talk. But I feel like you haven't had a chance to answer a question. If I do that, I'm probably going to take the next 5 minutes to orient to polyvagal. So I'm happy to do that, but we could also take another question if you'd like to.
Yeah. Do you want to weave that into your talk?
I'll do my best. And if not, we'll get to it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And then this next question is, for individual clients, how would we know what scripts to follow, especially if we have not worked with them before or know anything about their needs? And I'm not, I think this was during when we were teaching dyad. So if it's wondering about the dyad scripts, all the scripts that you use so far, think of these as like, these are the training wheels, and then we're not going to use them again. Tomorrow you'll be using what we call the stream entry script. And this is more of like a what we might use out in when we're practicing this with our peers or friends. As far as the scripts for the group practice, there's the master script, which is in your manual, which is the script that I believe was used for the research, wasn't it, Stephanie?
Yes, it's yes, very close to one that's been used for research. We have a few other ones, but yes, absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's all I have to say, unless you have something to add to that.
Yeah, I think we use the group scripts, and we use the ones that go along with what we want to be teaching, you know, so consider that. And I would agree, you know, wholeheartedly with Jennifer that with the co-meditation dyad, we have worksheets on there now, so you could consider them worksheets. Because scripts, we think of that we're going to be script dependent with the group scripts, but with these worksheets for co-meditation dyads, they're just there to support you to practice, like Jennifer was saying. And eventually the one tomorrow will be the one that you could have by your side, you know, as you're practicing this more and more. It'll make more sense once we orient you to it tomorrow, I think. Wouldn't you agree, Jennifer? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Then it has options, but what we've been doing is rather imposing, isn't it? Because we're at a certain point asking them to practice something, whereas these are just going to be options. So that's the only thing I'd add. But I think you covered it quite nicely. Yeah.
Thanks, Stephanie. I think we have time for one more. I think this one will work. The client states directly that the practitioner's tone is upsetting. So if the client is being triggered by the IRS facilitator, how does the facilitator help the client through this? Mm-hmm. One of the things I would ask them is what is it? What does that feel like? You know, what's arising? And I would be really interested in to know, like, what about the tone? Is it high? Is it low? Soft? Yeah. Anything for you, Stephanie?
Yeah. Well, I would imagine if they're in a group, they'd probably stop coming to the class, and we may not even know about it. It's true. You know, people are drawn to certain people and they're not drawn to others. So I'm going to assume that this is a one-on-one. And so I would agree with Jennifer. We can explore it and explore what's coming up for them. They may find that it's reminding them of someone that they knew. And so now they get to unpack that. So it's really not about us. It's about who they're associating that with. That's one possibility. And the other is if it's really just, if it's something where our voice is too low, we may find with that particular client, we need to pick up our voice a little bit. You know, there's something to be said for just kindness and responding to if somebody's harder of hearing or just needs us to have more of an upper tone or a stronger tone. So I guess there's the practicality of it where we can find out, but I agree with Jennifer that we always want to look at supporting them to actually use this as a possible other messenger because it might have more to reveal. Yeah.
Great. That's our 10 minutes, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that so beautifully and being a great timekeeper on top of it, Jennifer. I've got a lot to cover, so I really appreciate that.